Well, hello, faithful listener, and welcome to the first Small Voice podcast of 2019. Happy New Year! My name is Darren, and joining me here in the studio are old acquaintances Anne.
Hello.
Margaret.
Hello.
And Holly.
Hello.
And this month, we're bringing you one of our shorter podcasts, which we're squeezing in amongst a very busy month for the Small Voice team. More on that story later. Coming up in the show, we'll be discussing a topical issue in our Moral Mixdown, but first, it's time for a quick health check on the team. So, how was Christmas? Has the new year so far been heavenly or hellish? Anne.
Well, even Christmas is never unalloyed joy or terror. So it ended up being, as always, a combination of both. We were in the beautiful little hamlet of Kenmore in Perthshire in Scotland, just at the southern tip of Loch Tay, which is incredibly beautiful, quiet, peaceful, a lovely way to spend Christmas. But just after we got there, I learned that my sister, who was spending Christmas and New Year with her in-laws in North Carolina, had contracted pneumonia. And so we were in this beautiful, peaceful place, but against a backdrop all the time of this kind of permanent anxiety about my sister. However, she was well looked after by the American A&E system, and she responded to antibiotics, and she managed to fly home just a couple of days ago.
Oh, OK. That's good. Right, and Margaret?
Well, Christmas I spent mostly in my kitchen, as I usually do. New Year's Day included a walk up a hill, which an awful lot of other people had thought of as well, so it was quite busy. But I think the most significant thing for me over the last wee while has been that I got paid, and I hadn't realised that this would be such a great joy, but it's because I started a new job in November, and I got paid at the end of December. And I was thinking back with a group of friends to, we were being encouraged to sort of count our blessings. And a year ago, one of the others in the group had lost his job very suddenly. Company went out of business, and he's managed to keep working all that time. Somebody else was in hospital because he'd slipped on the ice and broken his leg, and he is now considerably better. He's in better health generally, and various other things. I think a third person who had lost her pets but has a new puppy to keep her busy. And we all thought, well, you know, things are getting better. But I hadn't realised how good it would be to get paid. And I'm conscious that there are people who, over the last very short time, have been in the same situation as my friend whose company went out of business. And I think my heart goes out to those who have got to look forward to very, very little in the days ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And Holly?
So I had a wonderful, restful Christmas, but I feel like that got erased very quickly. And I always think that there's something... I love the start of a new year. I like a blank diary. I like a blank page. I get quite excited about possibilities. So I suppose I'm going to go with this last little while having been heavenly, because I'm trying to cling to the hope of that blank page of a new year despite feeling pressured and a bit harassed. And actually, if I can get myself into that mental space, I think that's probably quite a healthy way to start 2019.
I'm going to start 2019, or these podcasts, the way that I usually do, which is to kind of lower the tone by being very kind of basic. I'll talk about New Year. My New Year is going quite well in terms of New Year's resolutions. I don't tend to make many, but I like the ones where you just do something quite practical. Gillian, my wife, and I decided that we would learn the Argentine tango. So on Tuesday, we went to our very first Argentine tango class, which was great fun and quite challenging. You know, they make it look easy on Strictly, but I tell you. Looking forward to that, and just nice to do something that I was going to say, you don't have to think about it. You actually have to think a lot about it, but you have to think about it with your body, if that makes sense. And I am not used to doing that. So watch this space, and no way are we providing photographic evidence.
It's a shame, Darren.
No. As ever, we're grateful to listeners for getting in touch following last month's podcast. Thanks in particular to Katrina for the Christmas present of a panda stationery set. We've got so many panda-themed items from Katrina, I think we could set up a gift shop. You may recall also that we featured Paige Hunter as our small voice of the month for December for her work on suicide prevention. So it was lovely to see Paige thanking us for this on Twitter. And now is also a good time to remind you, faithful listener, that we're sponsoring a couple of live concerts this month here in the centre of Glasgow, featuring good friends of the podcast. The pair of concerts are known collectively as the Small Voice Sessions at the Wild Olive Tree Cafe, and they are intimate live acoustic sessions at the cafe in St George's Tron, as I say, in the centre of town. So you can choose from on January the 24th at 7 p.m. That's a Thursday evening, Ellen Oliver. And Ellen's sung on our podcast before as part of the New Scottish Hymns group. And on January 25th, Hannah Rarity is going to be appearing live in concert. And I can also give you a little sneak preview, that's not quite the right phrase, but some exciting news that that's going to be a Burns-themed concert, and it's only appropriate, and we really look forward to that. So we'll maybe see you there, and even if we don't, we hope to bring you some music from that later on in our podcast through the year. And so to our Moral Mixdown, wherein we kick about a topical issue of the day. And this month, for the first time ever, you, the people, have spoken. I put up a Twitter poll earlier today offering three choices, and I am about to announce the winner. Oh, the excitement. Now, the options were as follows, and I should point out that Twitter, I was a bit annoyed about this, but Twitter requires you to be brief in your descriptions in options on a Twitter poll, but I did my best. So option A was Trump mess. Get it?
That's fair enough.
B was Brexit mess. And option C was mysterious space signals. Now, I'm guessing you'll have more or less got what we were on about with options A and B, but if you're baffled as to what this mysterious space signal stuff is all about, well, wonder no more, because I can now reveal that option C was in fact the winner with 100% of the votes cast. It's a landslide, folks. There you go. Democracy has spoken. And we are not about to deny the democratic will of the people. We have a clear mandate here. Mysterious space signals it is. To be more precise, we're actually talking about signals from deep space in the form of FRBs. Anyone do their homework? Stands for?
Fast
radio bursts.
Radio bursts.
Which have been detected from deep space. Now, I'd love to say that we have on the line our space and theology correspondent, Dr. Gavin Merrifield, who we did, and you interviewed him before about the Sombrero Galaxy.
That's right, back in 2015.
Was his kind of image that really spoke to him. So all I'll say is, Gavin, please go gentle on us in the unfolding sentences I'm about to say, and please also do advise us, come back at us, because Gavin's already been chatting to us on Twitter about this. FRBs are millisecond-long pulses of radio waves from unknown origin, with most scientists believing they're generated by powerful astrophysical phenomena emanating from billions of light years outside a galaxy. Some, however, have suggested they could be evidence of incredibly advanced alien technology. I think I'm right in saying there have only been about 60 recorded incidents of FRBs since they were first detected 7 years ago. But the thing is, this week, for only the second time ever, scientists published evidence that one of them was a repeating signal. And I think that's the key thing, as much as I understand this. It's the fact that there's this mysterious kind of space noise, if you like. But if it's noise, then surely it would be random rather than have a pattern to it. So we better call for Mulder and Scully. And while we're waiting for them to come, we'll have our moral mixed in, which in a sense is to say, so what? If we do find evidence that leads us to conclude that there is indeed life out there in the stars, how would that affect us? How would that affect our theology? How would that affect our world? I mean, a simple question, given current events, I guess, would it cheer us up? Anne, would you be cheered up?
Well, I will try and channel Gavin Merrifield at this point. Actually, I think it would cheer me up, because it would give a bit of a cosmic context for some of the mess that you talked about in your other two options for a moral mixdown tonight. And I think it would be quite useful to see our own world in a wider cosmic context. And that doesn't have to be aliens, but where it is, where a person doesn't necessarily have a faith that would help them to think cosmically about what's going on in our world, maybe aliens do the trick.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just thinking that the world was supposedly quite we responded in a particular way when we got that. What was it called? Earthrise. Remember the photograph of the Earth taken from the moon? And a lot of people, that just made us see our planet differently in a way.
Yeah, it just gives you that standpoint from outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I think even stories about aliens and science fiction does that same thing. Yeah. It provides a context for you to look back at yourself.
Holly, would you be chipper?
So when I saw this story yesterday, I was I was reading the news. So obviously I was in a pretty dark place. And I got to the story about the mysterious space signals and I thought, oh, great, that's aliens. And I was really happy. And I have absolutely
have
no
idea. Seen Doctor Who?
But I have absolutely no idea why. I just read it and thought, something within me said, that is a good news story.
Space pandas.
Oh, excellent. And instantly, like, my wife was sitting beside me and I showed it to her and she smiled. That cheered us both right up. But I have then, I suppose, spent a bit of today in between everything else that I've been doing thinking, well, why was I positive about that story? Why did I think that was good news? And I hope that maybe somebody has a good answer for that, because I've not quite got there yet, but I'll share my thoughts.
We may yet psychoanalyze it. We'll see. And what about you, Margaret?
Well, there were various different things that went through my mind. When Anne was speaking there, I was reminded of a bit of a radio play that I caught just before Christmas, because I didn't realize that 50 years ago was the Apollo flight that went round the back of the moon. And this play was set at that time with a young lad who was following the progress. And as you mentioned, Earthrise, it caught the excitement of people, that people had been round the back of the moon where nobody else had ever gone before and had come back again safely. And that was something that I had lived through and I had forgotten about. On a more flippant tone, I know exactly where the aliens are going to arrive, because it's just down the road from where I live. I've got the signpost. We could maybe put that up on the website as well. But
that's right. There are famously huge, UFO sightings in kind of sort of around... In the corridor near two big airports, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who'd have
thought
it?
Well...
Yeah, there's a lovely flat plain which includes Bonnie Bridge, which is the heart of UFO sightings.
Absolutely,
not only Scotland, I think the Western world, outside of the States. So, you know, Margaret's right on the doorstep.
But
I'll be there first.
I mean, I'm not suggesting we spend too long on this aspect of it, but, you know, when people talk about these sort of things, they always talk about alien abductions. They don't tend to say, oh, yeah, it was brilliant. You know, I had a cracking time and then, it came back and that was, so that would be people who'd be upset about evidence of alien life.
Well, it's strange you should say that, because the last time I actually interviewed someone who does know about this, which was Dr. David Wilkinson, who's a theologian and an astrophysicist, it was when I was making a programme with the UFO fanatics of Bonnybridge, and David Wilkinson was my expert witness, and he has a lovely concept of cosmic loneliness. He thinks that people become obsessed with finding alien life, whatever that might be for them, actually are suffering from a kind of cosmic loneliness, which for him would most readily, I suppose, be alleviated by a faith in a benign creator God. But where you don't have that, you're seeking someone else out there to be your friend, and perhaps even to be your saviour, because most people are not looking for a kind of a militaristic alien race out there. They're hoping that there are people more advanced than us who have learned more than we have about how to organise themselves and will come and save us from ourselves. And so again, there's something deep within us where if you don't believe there is a saviour in a spiritual sense, you're looking for a saviour out there in the universe, in alien life forms.
Yeah, I have to admit, from my perspective, I'm pretty sure it would cheer me up. I find it really, really hard to believe that we are alone, because space is big. I mean, really big.
Really big.
Just believe how vastly...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Long way to corner shop yet. Sorry, let's just channel the guide for a while. So, I think, surely we can't believe... But what would be interesting to me in this one, now this is different from discovering... alien tech on this planet, because I think that you know, I have no doubt you know, our governments would get hugely preoccupied by that, because that's stuff that conceivably you could use. But I mentioned that these signals are from billions of light years away, which means, you know, literally it happened billions of years ago. Mm. Now, Holly, you pointed out when we were chatting before that, well, they could just be on their way. You know, that could have just been them putting the key into the ignition of their spacecraft. But it could also mean that that alien race is long gone. And what I find interesting about, because I think I'm right in saying, well, maybe I'm wrong, but it's unlikely that we've got intelligent life in our solar system.
Including us.
Yes. Absolutely including us. Yeah. So as soon as if Einstein's right and you can't go faster than the speed of light, and that's you know, most science fiction stories assume he's wrong, but then you have to work in a completely different way on a completely different timescale. And I think that would give you a different universe view of just how long it would take even to communicate to the nearest star from us, which I think is Proxima Centauri, 5 light years away. So it would take you 5 years. If you sent out hello, it would be 10 years before they said, I'm sorry,
yes.
Can you speak a bit louder? It would just be a different... And I said, would that be a different theology then? Would that make us think differently about our theology?
Well, I've said this before, that I'm not into space. I am quite into science fiction sometimes, but I always would have described myself as someone who just didn't get too excited about what's out there. And this week I found myself watching a documentary on Netflix about the Cassini mission. It was almost 20-year mission to information mm-hmm. gather around Saturn, yeah. And it was about them crashing the probe eventually into Saturn. And it's a show called 7 Days Out, and it looks at the last 7 days of the Cassini mission. And I was crying. I was finding myself absolutely overcome with the excitement and also the sadness that these people had about the mission ending. And I was reflecting on that when I read this story, because some of the scientists were saying things that didn't sound particularly scientific to me. Mm. And one thing that I was struck by was a quote that was, an artificial origin is worth contemplating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's leaving the door open. And it's just scientists talking about leaving the door open to a sense of wonder about the universe, and not reducing things to, and not the scientists I know don't reduce things to numbers, but just something so powerful about the humanity and the looking up at the stars and wondering what's out there is to me very powerful.
Yeah. I'm going to try and say something scientific, so it'll probably be completely wrong. But I'm going to launch in and may have to be helped out of this.
No.
My understanding about these FRBs is that these repeating ones are extraordinary because their power is so immense mm-hmm. that it would appear to scientists that for that burst of energy to come towards us, the source would have to be destroyed by the power and mm-hmm. the immensity of that.
So you talk about things like black holes colliding.
Yeah,
right? Things like that. Yeah.
But if it repeats, and you can prove it comes from the same source more than once, mm. then the source has not been destroyed by that immense burst of energy after all. It's still there to send out that signal again. Now, that is fascinating, and I think that's the scientist that Holly's been thinking about. She was just leaving the door open to the possibility that this is something created by someone out there in the universe. And I think I would welcome the thought of that, just to be included in the options. Not for us to go, you know, hell for leather after mm-hmm. the idea that it's alien life or evidence of it, but that we don't dismiss it as an option amongst the other natural phenomena that are being considered. Because after all, surely if you're a true scientist, you keep that as wide as possible until you actually have the data that you can say something sensible about. And I love the idea of it, actually, because if these are people out there in the universe, they are also God's creatures. They are somehow or other our brothers and sisters, though gender may have no meaning, but they're like us in some sense if they're also creatures. And that can't be a bad thing. And I would just love there to be somebody who did understand a bit more than us, who would just knock us off this idea that we are the pinnacle of God's creation. Because clearly human beings, you know, have got a long way to go. And I refer you back to Brexit mess and Trump mess. in our thinking. It'd be lovely to think that we are not the best that God made, that there is someone better out there.
And knock us off our pedestal
a little bit. Yeah.
I'm just trying to work out how you would send a space message to them to say, how did you get a second referendum? No, sorry, I'm not going to get political here. Honestly, I'm not going to get political. Okay, well, there you go, faithful listener. And whether you think the truth is indeed out there or humanity is about as good as it gets, we'll be back next month with another podcast, barring alien invasion. Meantime, we hope to see some of you at the Small Voice sessions at the Wild Olive Tree Cafe later this month, or if you can't manage that, why not drop by and say hello at our website smallvoice.org.uk or on Twitter at small_voice1. As for us, it's time for us to boldly go where plenty of people have boldly gone before and head on out into the Scottish weather. Now, where did I put my balaclava?